Oh, Kansas! Welcome to the End of the Pain podcast on rocktalkblog.com. Oh, Kentucky! Well, that game was good. That
fun,
lived up to the hype.
Those never happened.
I mean, it was a good game between two, like, good blue blood teams.
Happened last year, too. 2 years in a row that these two teams have put a really good product on the floor.
And KU went on the road in Rupp Arena. Reports say they were ready to round ball.
Oh, my gosh.
But KU gets the victory. Again, this is the End of the Paint podcast on rocktalkblog.com. I'm Joshua Briscoe.
Ryan Landreth, at Ryan underscore Landreth on Twitter.
I'm at JB Briscoe. And here to my left, Daniel Cunningham, whose Twitter handle he will say now. Oh, just kidding. He's not here. After,
nope.
Like, the most fun win in the last couple of years, perhaps?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The most fun non-tournament win since we've been covering KU?
I think that's
Daniel
fair.
Is MIA. He is AWOL. He is...
taking Christine, his girlfriend, to a dentist appointment.
His fiance.
Oh, yeah. I still get that mixed up. I'm not used to this, Daniel.
So on this show, Ryan and I are going to be talking about KU and Kentucky, KU's big victory. And maybe we should talk about how big it actually is. There's a question that you asked me before the show. Maybe we'll bring up here after this first air horn. We'll talk about how big the win was, what exactly happened here. I'm going to say that we have an even better feel for just how important Landon Lucas is. Also,
no
great
kidding.
Performances from the guards.
And Bill Self out-coached John Calipari again, which is really conflicts some of the drops that we have, some of Daniel's comments ever. I won't play those yet. But KU's got a great coach, a really good team. And remember, like, what was it, Friday, when people were asking, what is Kansas going to do? Not bad. Not a bad way to bounce back.
Kansas was going to win what they did.
Oh, am I supposed to? I'm not used to this setup.
Number two, Kansas, yeah. 79. Number four, Kentucky, 73.
I have seen a lot of ridiculous stats about Kansas and Kentucky, but this one probably takes the cake. Bill Self is now 16-4 against top five teams at Kansas, and they have a chance to make it 17-4 on Wednesday. 800 winning percentage against top five teams.
You want to be really impressed real quick here, Ryan? I did my own notes today. Not for this show, but for Sunday, because I was hosting on Sports Radio 810 WHB from 9 to 11:30 a.m.
Can't see anybody on big eyes whenever I saw you talk about doing your own notes.
Yeah, that was Sunday morning when I was hosting the show. I prepared some things. And so I'm going to... Do you want to give yourself a monologue space right here, and then I've got mine? How do you want to do this?
I just want this.
Cal sucks whale penis. What's wrong with that?
Dude. You know, with a big win, the clutch performances from Josh Jackson, Frank Mason, which we'll break down in a little bit, I'm afraid that a bunch of us are going to start to forget again that neither of them are the most important players on this team.
Yeah.
Landon Lucas is the most irreplaceable player on this team, and it's not particularly close. First, for the easy reasons here. It was 9-8 to Kentucky when Lucas left the game for the first time. It was 20-11 whenever he returned to the game.
Come on, Landon! Come on, Landon! Lay it in, buddy!
Early in the second half, Lucas had that tremendous under-the-basket and-one. He had a putback to get the lead. He had an offensive rebound that led to Devontae Graham getting that three that put KU up by five with 11 minutes left. But even away from that, as we talk about all the time on this show, away from the ball, off the stat sheet, he is vitally consistent. Bill Self trusts him. He's never out of place. He's an inside force that has to be respected, and he can score 13 points as he did in this game and makes it tremendously more difficult for anyone else trying to get to the opposing basket. Also, if you haven't noticed, nobody else on KU can do any of those things, or certainly not all of those things at once, though Dwight Colby had like 10 pretty solid minutes in this game.
We'll talk about Colby.
I'm excited about Dwight Colby.
Lucas scored more. Daniel said on the last podcast that he needed to see Lucas score more than he was, and he did. KU needed all 13 of his points. He was a perfect 6-for-6 from the floor. He added 5 rebounds and fouled out in 27 minutes. If there's one complaint about Landon Lucas' game, it's he has tendency to foul whenever the situation wouldn't it's not wise to call for a foul. But a lot of that is a result of somebody else screwing up and Lucas having to foul to prevent an easy layup.
He had 2 bad reach-in fouls.
Yeah, that's got to stop.
And that last one was towards the end of the game, so that wasn't that last foul. Him actually fouling out didn't end up being a big deal. The game was pretty much out of hand at that point.
Scott just tweeted both of us with arrows pointing upward. And my phone won't load. I'm anxious to see what he just tweeted. Finishing the Landon Lucas point, this game had a completely different feel. I wrote, whenever he was in the game and when he was on the bench, but when he was in foul trouble, the day was saved by Dwight Colby.
It was.
Who this is what Scott tweeted.
Nice job, Doug.
From self in the press conference, quote, "We're all frustrated and a little disappointed that his health isn't better than we anticipated it would be." So that answers the question on why he hasn't been playing more. But in this game, 3 points and one rebound in 10 minutes isn't going to...
We should also talk about the Carlton Bragg news at some point.
Yeah, we will. Okay. We'll get there. 3 points, one rebound in 10 minutes for Colby isn't overly impressive on the stat card. Neither are the four fouls. But KU, all they need is another body. They need a second big body that can pick up fouls, that can give them five more fouls to work with per game, and that's what Colby did. Lightfoot was the first big guy off the bench. Didn't work. Self went to Colby. And every time for the rest of the game, whenever Lucas went out, Colby went in.
And as Scott just tweeted, if his health continues to improve over the next 2 months, then KU might actually still have a decent number two big man on the bench coming up behind Landon Lucas.
Jamari Traylor has made me appreciate players who don't do a ton of things on the scouting report, but definitely can come in, pick up fouls, fill in minutes, and not be a liability. If Dwight Colby can take that role, you could argue this team needs a Jamari Traylor more than just about anything they had last year. And if they have one,
I think they could use Perry Ellis.
Well, I was going to say hot other take. Than the obvious stuff. But like next year, whenever KU's going to have Udoka Azubuike, who will be a sophomore, but technically with age and with experience, they'll be a freshman. Maybe another freshman big guy comes in, and Billy Preston's going to come in. He's a freshman. It's going to really be nice to have a Dwight Colby senior like Jamari, who Daniel will inevitably yell at for getting more minutes than Azubuike and Preston at times, but will be able to stop the bleeding in this case and hold down the fort against a really, really good Kentucky offense.
I'm impressed that it's taken us this long to talk about the guards. I think that's good to put the focus on the big men right now. But the guards were tremendous here. Frank Mason led the team in scoring with 21 points, shooting 9 of 18. Which, man, that's a lot of shots.
Yeah, it's another L. He shot 10 times every game this year.
He had four assists in 37 minutes. What did you think about Mason's game here?
I think the single best thing of his game on Saturday wasn't the 21 points, which he's done now 11 times this year, scored 20-plus points. I think the best part of his game was his defense on De'Aaron Fox, who's arguably the quickest player in college basketball. He's going to be probably the first point guard taken in this upcoming draft, and how good he was on him. He held Fox to 10 points and just 2 assists, made him turn the ball over 5 times, which is a career high for Fox. Fox was referred to as the quickest player in college basketball by Dan Shulman and Jay Billis a couple times. Mason was the one blowing by him several times, and then he answered, as we'll get to a Daniel quote here in a little bit. Daniel pointed out that those two, early in the early going, it was those two matching each other blow for blow. KU weathered the early storm. They fell behind 23-11. Bill Self even said after the game that he was worried that it might get ugly fast. But then over the last 23 minutes of the game, Kansas outscored Kentucky 59-42. In their building.
Another great performance came from Josh Jackson here. He got 20 points on 9 of 17 from the floor. He also had 10 rebounds, bringing him another double-double plus 3 more assists. He played 39 minutes, obviously leading the team in minutes. He also raised his three-point percentage to 33%. There was a moment where Josh and Briscoe were just trading threes.
That was. I enjoyed your tweet.
I went outside
there.
And shot some jumpers, clanked them all, so it did not work.
Andrew Wiggins wasn't a memorable three-point shooter, but I don't remember him as being a bad three-point shooter. He shot 34% on threes. Josh Jackson's now at 33.
I bet Jackson's on pace to shoot more threes than Wiggins did.
I don't think
that's
true.
I would be interested in
that. Wiggins shot a lot of threes.
That's what I would sort of guess.
Jackson, maybe now, and we talk about Josh Jackson, if he is, there's some Ask RCB questions we'll get to about maybe he was just in a funk. Maybe he actually is a good three-point shooter. I don't think he was as bad as his stats were from November to December, and I don't think he's 6-for-11 good like he has been in the last two or three games. But I think he is about a 33% shooter. I think over time, if you had shown me his three-point percentage at the beginning of the year on January 30th, we would have said, yeah, about 33%. That works just fine for this team that's got four other guys that can do better than that.
I'm going to blast the rest of the guards really quick before you talk about Self and Calipari. Devontae Graham, 12 points and a career-high 7 rebounds, which he's done 4 times, also was fantastic on defense. Throughout this, Mikhail Luke had 8 points in 28 minutes, including some huge like step-back NBA-style jumpers that were stupendous. And LeGerald Vick just made one bucket, but he was on the floor a lot, and that one bucket was
Sports
his alley-oop,
yeah.
Which was beautiful. But Vic was I don't know how many minutes Vic actually played. I think it was either 10 or 18.
I think it's 18 because Colby was the one with 10.
And again, that's an example where he didn't have to shoot the ball ever. Like, the only time he touched the ball was going downwards. Or he was throwing the ball downwards. But the depth that KU has on both ends of the floor here with their guards that can actually play defense and be offensive threats is just stupendous.
Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox are going to be top 8 picks in the NBA draft. And on the, after hearing about the Kentucky backcourt all year long, the KU backcourt went into Rupp Arena and outplayed them. It was very impressive. The guards are going to key KU. If Lucas stays out of foul trouble, as I think you were the one who posted on Twitter, this team can win any place, any time against any team. If Lucas isn't in foul trouble, they're very vulnerable.
On that point, really quick, I was when I was talking, I said that made that same point on 810 yesterday, and someone did me the courtesy of calling in to remind me that KU lost in West Virginia just a few days ago, which I had not forgotten about.
Yeah.
That statement stands. If Lucas stays out of foul trouble, they can win anywhere. There are ways they can get tripped up, but I will take KU in any environment at this point.
And you look back at the one loss they had other than that, and it was an Indiana team who's proven not to be very good that made 15 threes and barely beat them in overtime. That KU is a couple ticks away from being 20-1. Instead, they're 19-2. I believe only Baylor and Gonzaga are the teams in the top 25 that have fewer than two losses. KU's played to this point as well as any team in college basketball, and they have wins over Duke and Kentucky now. I'd love to know the last time that a team beat both Duke and Kentucky in the same season. I have no idea when it was.
Probably North Carolina not that long ago.
Yeah, you're right, because North Carolina plays them every year. That's not fair. But North Carolina lost to Kentucky earlier in the year, so it wasn't this year. Let's talk about Derek Willis. As Daniel says, a walking, talking form of birth control made 5 straight threes. He hadn't made more than 3 in any game this year. Derek Willis and Nathan Adrian making threes are my nightmares as I'm chained to chairs. They're in clown suits. Launching. Swish. Swish. And doing that evil clown laugh as I chain to my chair and can't get up.
What do you think about Bill Self going to the zone, huh? Nope.
Not feeling that one. Oh, the Bill Self zone. Yeah, look at Bill Self out coaching PayPal Cal.
He's
coaching
rings
around him.
Playing 4 guards and playing zones. Bill Self is a crazy man. You know, I was on 810 yesterday hosting a show. Have I mentioned that? And I had the incomparable Scott Chasen on. And he said that after the game, Self talked about how the zone, I think I'm representing this correctly, Self talked about how the zone is a way that you can extend the minutes you can get from your entire team, but especially Mason and Jackson and Graham, guys getting a ton of minutes. They don't have to run around quite so dang much whenever they're playing man-to-man. If they move to that zone, they can take their zones up a little bit. It saves their legs a little bit on the defensive end of the court, which I thought was interesting.
2014, 2 things that we never in a million years thought Bill Self would do. Number 1, switch up his defense, unless it was a dire situation. And number 2, play 4 guards.
Yep.
Look at the guy. Here's Daniel's takes on Bill Self.
Well, Self de-pantsed and gave Cal the old whale penis on Saturday. You heard that right.
Is he drunk driving?
No, but in all reality, I am completely stunned at the outcome of the game.
Really?
I thought it was going towards Blowout City in the first half when they were down 12, but
you guys are dumb.
This game was simply about one thing, and that was, they can talk about Josh Jackson, who was obviously the best player in the game to me overall, or Frank Mason, who was right up there as well, but this game came down to Bill Self. He completely outcoached John Calipari in this game. Completely threw Kentucky off, switching to that zone, going to a triangle one or two at times. Then switching back to man-to-man. The constant switching of the defense just really threw those freshmen off, and he just did an unbelievable job in the game.
Love that he didn't mention that in Lucas. That feels right. And really, you're stunned? Either of you are stunned that KU won that game? I was surprised. I don't remember what I picked them to lose by.
Like, well, you picked them to lose by 3, I think.
There was a 40% chance that KU would have won that game. Maybe 35.
I was going to say about 25. This was the first time in many years, at least the first time on this show, that I went into a KU game thinking it's about a 30% chance or so they're winning.
It was an upset.
But it wasn't stunning. Also, Daniel is as wishy-washy with Self and Calipari. If Kentucky beats Kansas in the Elite Eight this year, we're going to go back to this.
Bill, you suck!
That was 1 year ago. 1 year ago, he was singing that song. You know what KU's record is since that song?
Real good. 3 losses?
I think 4, maybe. Four, I think. It's absurd. Let's
just
get ready to round ball.
That was tacky.
Michael Buffer. After all,
why not just say rumble? Like, just do play the hits. Just say let's get ready to rumble.
It's ridiculous.
And just move on. No, the intro was dope though.
No,
if that intro happened in Allen Fieldhouse, you would have
roofed yourself.
A game that was supposed to start at 5 started at 5:24.
It said 5:15.
Okay, then either way,
it started 9 minutes.
I don't
minutes
want Michael late. Buffer. That's embarrassing.
God, you are such a grouchy old man, but only whenever it's with people that you don't like already.
Whatever you do, just don't storm the floor on me. With 4 minutes left in the first half, Kentucky was flirting with a double-digit lead and self-switched to the 2-3 zone, as we were just talking about. That held Kentucky bucketless for the rest of the half, and then Kansas cut the deficit to 5. You knew whenever they went into the halftime locker room, on 0-for-8 from 3, and still within 5, they had a good chance. This was so much like that Duke game from Madison Square Garden. Didn't play well in the first half, yet amazingly, despite nothing going in the basket, rolling down by a handful of points, Josh Jackson takes over right after halftime, and the team holds serve and plays really good offense to win it. Kentucky couldn't figure out the zone. They had more than a whole half to figure it out, couldn't do it. We saw them do that in the West Virginia game, which keyed a big run that gave them the lead, and then eventually they wilted. Self's gone zone 2 games in a row, and it's worked both times.
Biggest takeaways from this game, Landon Lucas, good. Dwight Colby might be fine. They did not miss Carlton Bragg. Let's talk about Carlton Bragg.
And Mitch Lightfoot, who saw just 4 minutes. Colby was the superior option. Self stuck with
him. We already talked about Dwight Colby.
Is Dwight Colby going to play more than Carlton Bragg when Bragg comes back?
I wouldn't. It would make me mad. We don't know when Bragg's gonna come back though. Let's have a Carlton Bragg segment.
All right, let me go. Oh, you want an air horn now?
Yeah, let's go to the next topic.
Okay, then free throws were bad for both teams. We might as well finish. KU shot 50%. Kentucky shot 47% from the field.
So much information here.
KU beat Kentucky on the road despite shooting 26% on threes. That's it, and they still won at Rupp. Neither team shot better than 50%.
They were 0-for-8 shooting from 3 in the first half.
Neither team got out of the 50s in free throws. Kentucky had more rebounds, assists, blocks, more threes, and more field goals. The difference was that KU, this is a stunning stat if you told me this at the beginning of the day, KU and their weak interior scoring game that Kentucky was going to outmatch.
And weak interior defense, for that matter.
KU had 9 more two-point baskets than Kentucky did. That's unforeseen.
That's incredible.
Now you want to talk about Carlton Bragg?
I think the news of the day.
Let's talk about Carlton Bragg. Floor is yours.
The alert here from ESPN says that Kansas's Carlton Bragg Jr. has been charged with possession of drug paraphernalia. He was previously suspended for violating team rules.
Everybody's coming at me on Twitter and asking if this could have anything to do with the drug paraphernalia that was found on the December 17th
incident.
And
I pray to God that your answer was, we don't have any idea.
I said it's the first thing that crossed my mind, but we have absolutely no idea, and we probably won't know that for a while if it was. But Carlton Bragg was named a sixth witness in that story. No idea if it had any connection at all. Certainly hope it's not, because that would not be good.
Do you want the answer to that question? The paraphernalia was found December 17th while university police were investigating a reported rape at McCarthy Hall, home of the men's basketball team and other male students. That is via the Associated Press.
So it was that night, but we don't have any evidence.
It was just from that same, investigation.
They found it 40 days ago. Why is it just now coming up?
I have no idea.
I have
absolutely no idea. I cannot answer that in any possible way. Court Administrator Vicky Stanwix confirmed that Bragg was given a notice to appear in court after police said they found 2 glass smoking devices with residue inside. Man, that is not a big deal, though. They're in Lawrence. You know how many apartments in Lawrence have glass smoking devices with residue inside?
Oh, they absolutely do. And I'm not, without talking about whether they
also
should or shouldn't
not
be,
even like weed.
It's a rule.
Just glass.
But it's a rule. You can't
these
things.
That's fine.
It's an expectation whenever you come to here. And everybody's saying, oh, I'm sure every college athlete does this. Maybe so, but you can't do it. And especially don't leave it lying around the dang
apartment. I'm not saying that he shouldn't be punished for it. I'm just saying that's not something I'm going to go I'm concerned about Carlton Bragg's
character.
Neither.
People saying he's going to get thrown out of school for this. No, he won't.
But it does put into question now for me, and finding in the same time they were investigating the rape case does not connect the two, other than that police went to the dorm for the rape case and they're also like, what's that? That's how I assume that probably played out. You don't have an investigation into a dorm because somebody reports there's a glass smoking device.
And
anywho,
it's weird because the incident everybody is thinking here now, second incident with Bragg. The first one was completely unrelated and didn't end up being anything. He didn't do anything wrong that first time. So now his name comes up again. So everybody on Twitter, and I'm sure whenever they visit road arenas, fans are going to let him have it. They chant convict at him as is. It's just been a really, maybe the weirdest non-Brandon Green year I can ever remember for any KU player.
Because he's been disappointing on the floor. One thing this does put into question for me now, though, is what does indefinitely mean? Whenever indefinitely came out first, well, is one game just missing the Kentucky game? Getting suspended for the Kentucky game was a big deal.
Spoiler alert, Self said he will not play on Wednesday against Baylor.
But now I look at this and say, well, how long could this go?
His hearing is February 14 right now. That's his court date.
I would be shocked if it held through that long at this point. No, I wouldn't be shocked. I would be surprised. I could see Self saying, you know, we're going to make it a two-week-long thing. Kay doesn't need him either way. The most important thing to me right now is that Colby continues to make good use of the minutes that he gets. Hopefully he continues to get healthier. But right now, Bragg is just 5 fouls and a headband. Like, that is what he brings to this team. So I'm not in any panic mode. This isn't any of the six guys that really matter. Bragg and Colby at this point, maybe Bragg has a higher ceiling, but currently he's not doing anything better than Dwight Doug Colby, at least not by much.
There are 10 Big 12 SEC Challenge games. I have one, maybe two sentences about each. We're going to blow through them. You want to read the scores?
Yeah, they were not that interesting. The Big 12 and the SEC first split the 10 games 5-5. The Big 12's top three teams all won, but the middle of the league was just getting stepped on. It snaps the Big 12's three-year run of winning the challenge.
Although, four of the top five teams in the Big 12, Baylor, Kansas, West Virginia, Kansas State, and Iowa State, played road games. Yep. So the schedule was a little unbalanced, but still, the Big 12 should have won this event.
Number 5, Baylor, 78. Texas Tech, 75, in a game that was closer than you expected.
Ole Miss isn't very good. Baylor escapes. They're 20-1, but its last 7 wins have all come by 10 points or fewer.
I'm sorry.
What?
It says Texas Tech, and I read Texas Tech.
Oh, sorry. Ole Miss. I just forgot to change that. Yeah, Baylor beat Ole Miss.
I didn't even slow
78,
down.
78-75. What was
number
Ole Miss?
5,
what
Baylor, 78. The Ole Miss running Rebels?
Rebels, yeah. They led by 15 in the first half. Baylor comes back to shoot 54% in the second half. For this next one, just read the number, not the team name.
Just plowed through that, because the numbers are also wrong now also.
No, just read the number.
Oh, just read the number.
Yeah.
Number 18. West Virginia. 81. Texas A&M. 77.
This was the opposite of the Baylor-Ole Miss game, as it was West Virginia with a big halftime lead, and then they were the ones who almost blew it before holding on. The Mountaineers get back to doing what they do best. They force 23 turnovers, win number one for the Big 12.
Number 25, Florida, 84. Oklahoma, 52, and a nail-biter.
What percentage did Oklahoma shoot from three in this game? Are you looking?
I am. I was just trying to think of a funnier way to say 6.
6% from three. I picked Oklahoma.
Oh, my God.
Didn't work out too well. I'm in outright possession of last place.
Now. Oh, wow.
Not going well. We're all within 2 games of each other. But, yeah, Oklahoma,
this
one
should count as 2.
So they won at West Virginia 2 weeks ago. That kind of seems like 50.
Yeah, man, it always was. That's college basketball. Wow. Bleep
that's,
happened.
That's really weird.
Texas Tech, 77. LSU, 64.
That's actually Texas Tech, not yeah. Ole Miss. Win number 2 for the Big 12. Zach Smith scored 25 points for the Red Raiders. LSU is bad without Ben Simmons. So they were bad.
Are you saying
Ben Simmons
in order of, like, when these games were played?
I guess.
Because so down this list, we've talked. That's the fourth Big 12 one we've talked about because of Kansas, Baylor, and West Virginia.
Yes, it was the second for the Big 12 in real time, but whatever. Okay. Sorry, I'll just
Tennessee 70, Kansas State 58. Your Wildcats.
Yeah, this
not
is the one.
So much.
This is the one wherever the Big 12, for not winning the challenge, they look and they want this one. Bruce Weber said after the game, it's not an excuse, but DJ Johnson and Dean Wade didn't play this week, practice this week. That sounds like an excuse, Bruce.
I mean, it is an excuse. Just let that be an excuse.
After a home game with TCU this week, here are K-State's next 3 games. At Baylor, versus KU, at West Virginia. They're going to go 0-3?
Yes.
They're going to beat KU at home.
Oklahoma State, 99. Arkansas, 71. I told you guys Arkansas was not good.
Hey, that was Daniel that picked him in this game.
I also had Oklahoma State.
Yeah, you did.
You and I had Oklahoma State. Daniel had Arkansas.
That's correct.
I apologize.
Phil Forte.
I told you Arkansas wasn't good, Daniel.
Phil Forte hit the 303 of his career, which breaks Keaton Page's school record for the most threes in Oklahoma State history. Fun fact, roughly half of those have come against Kansas. Also, what happens, Perry Ellis jokes whenever you've been there 7 years.
So if we're going to do this whole thing again of give me the fifth team in the Big 12, now where do you sit?
Case Iowa State's 4, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they lost to Vandy.
Yeah, we'll get to them.
K-State's 5.
I mean, it's clearly KU, Baylor, West Virginia, Iowa State.
I think it's those 3, then a gap, then Iowa State, K-State.
No, Iowa State's going to end up being 4th. There's no way that doesn't happen.
By one game, maybe.
I feel pretty confident in that, but what do I know?
How many teams the Big 12 get in the tournament?
And I'll tell you one team that's not getting into the tournament is Texas. Number nothing, Georgia, 59. Number nothing, Texas, 57.
Texas is 0-6 in road games. They're 8-13 overall. You said they'd go to the Final Four.
I mean, it was just like
a
guess.
Yeah, you didn't actually
it
say
was like,
it
I would,
was the
I
Final
didn't put
Four.
Money on it. I was just throwing a thing at the wall, and God, it bounced back and hit me between the eyes.
They're going to be the team that beats Kansas at home.
That yes, absolutely. I'll pick it. Vandy, 84. Iowa State, 78.
May be the one the Big 12 should have had, actually.
They should have had this one.
The Cyclones lose to the 10-11 Commodores behind 21 points from Luke Kornet, who is 7'1". He made 3 threes. Kansas treatment.
That's unbelievable. A 7-footer making 3 threes is incredible.
Iowa State should be better than they are.
Yeah, but sometimes you lose games to teams like Vanderbilt whenever you're Iowa State.
They've lost a lot of games to teams like Vanderbilt.
That's what the whole middle of the Big 12
is. TCU.
That's what everybody below Baylor is. West Virginia lost to Oklahoma.
Yeah, at home.
At home!
At home. Who just
Baylor and Kansas right now are the two teams that aren't doing that.
And Baylor and they both flirted with it a little bit this year.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
So, I mean, it's not as easy as it sounds. There's not a Kansas team winning every
game
by 20.
College basketball is a little bit psychotic.
And the last game.
Auburn 88, TCU 80.
Nope.
No horny drop today. So much for trusting TCU. This is a terrible loss at home to Auburn. But talk about a team that did not participate in the challenge.
So if you might have noticed, not in the Big 12 SEC challenge was Missouri. They didn't play in the challenge, but they did still find time to lose to South Carolina. They are 0-8 in league play and 5-15 overall. We are Mizzou.
We are Mizzou. Want to hear a fun fact?
Yeah, give me that. I got to tell you a quick story.
Missouri, in the last 3 years, mm-hmm. has fewer SEC road wins than Kansas. Kansas has one. It's been over 3 years and counting since Missouri last won a road game. There are seniors on that team that have never won a road game.
God, that's depressing.
Kansas has more wins against the SEC than Missouri does this year, 2-0. And Kansas has more road wins than Missouri against SEC teams in the last 3 years.
Who's the other SEC team that Kansas beat?
Georgia and the Sprint Center.
Oh, God, okay. Yesterday, I was hosting on 810. Did I mention that yet?
No.
Guy called in, and I was talking about, I think I was starting to talk about the Chiefs. I might have been talking about Roger Goodell thing that everybody around him is a moron. Might have been talking about KU. Didn't really matter. You know what I wasn't talking about?
Missouri?
I was not talking about Missouri.
So we don't need to talk about Missouri.
Guy calls in.
Uh-oh.
And I go, hey, okay, yeah, Tony. Tony, you're on Sports Sunday. What's up, Tony? And he goes into a 90-second long monologue about how we need to believe in Kim Anderson. It was so confusing. Like, I had not mentioned Missouri in any way whatsoever.
Maybe he called the wrong radio station.
I thought that, perhaps. But he said, you know, give Kim Anderson 2 more years and we're going to make the NIT. We're going to do it. Give Kim Anderson 2 more years and we are going to make the NIT.
Trying to find Kim. Okay.
And that just seemed like the appropriate kind of optimism for Mizzou.
Kim Anderson has coached, quick math, 83 games at Missouri. How many has he won?
I'm going to say 14.
24.
Oh,
he's
man.
He's way better. He won 9 games his first year, 10 games his second year, and 5 this year so far. How many SEC games out of, oh my gosh, so many SEC games. Out of 44 SEC games, how many have they won?
6.
Yes.
Woo!
6 and 43 against the SEC. So the Big 12 standings remain unchanged.
Give them 2 more years.
Kansas and Baylor are alone. Then it's everybody else. It's looking like KU and Baylor are the cream of the crop in the Big 12, not only outright, but by a couple of games, which is surprising. Let's go on to the top 25, where there were plenty of L's to be taken by ranked teams.
There are actually 9 losses by top 10 teams this week, including 4 this weekend. Each of the top 3 teams in the ACC lost. Number 6, Florida State lost to Syracuse, who stormed the court.
Syracuse, stormed the floor.
Number 14, Notre Dame lost to Georgia Tech. Both teams went 0-2 this week. Also, number 9, North Carolina lost to Miami by 15. Roy Williams kicked a chair. He looked unbelievably unhappy. They're still in first place, though, at 7-2.
North Carolina. Roy Williams almost fainted after punching and kicking a chair. He's been angry this year. He threw his suit jacket in the Kentucky game and got a T.
He's back to angry, Roy.
He looks old, too. Hopefully, he's not, like, dying or something.
He has a lot of energy being angry, so I don't think he's dying.
Also, number 17, Duke, put together a big comeback to beat Wake Forest right after Daniel sent a message to the group that said Duke is awful, narrowly avoiding another bad loss. Luke Kennard scored 34 points. He shot 10 for 10 in the second half, including the game winner with 8 seconds left. Old Danny Manning was up by 10 at the final TV timeout and blew the lead, maybe a season saver for the Blue Devils.
Luke Kennard is going to be the guy in the Elite Eight who has 5 threes in the first half against KU.
Luke Kennard already did that against KU earlier this year.
In the Elite Eight.
Oh, he's going to do it
in
again?
In the Elite Eight.
He's actually good, though.
I know. I'm just saying, like, that's going to be the name.
It's not like when Nathan Adrian does it.
No, no, no. It's not Ali Farouk Manesh. But we're going to come in, recapping the Elite Eight game, and we're going to go, damn it, like, freaking Duke. Number 1 Villanova beat number 12 Virginia on a buzzer beater by Dante DeVincenzo.
He's white. Did you know that?
It sounds like a very Italian name, yeah.
Oh, okay. I would not have guessed that.
DeVincenzo? It sounds like a frozen pizza. Virginia led for basically the first 35 minutes before the Wildcats put together a comeback. The officiating in this game, you had questions about.
Yes.
Villanova was not called for a single foul over the last 14 minutes.
That's a lot. It's a long time to go without a foul.
Want them to schedule the foul calls, though? Like, what do you want them to do about it?
Now, Kansas isn't happy with the way that the Villanova-KU game was officiated. They do play smart, but come on. No fouls in 14 minutes? Come on.
In the Pac-12, number 7 Arizona grabbed sole possession of first place after beating Washington on Sunday. The Wildcats are 9-0 in the conference.
They deserve a one seed over Gonzaga out west.
Colorado beat number 10 Oregon for the Ducks' first loss in league play.
Hold on.
If I wasn't watching the video, I'm not sure I would know those were ducks.
Those are baby ducks.
Those aren't very good quacking sounds.
Okay, I'll find a better one.
While you do that, number 15, Wisconsin beat Rutgers in overtime. Number 22,
so
Maryland.
Funny.
Number 20, it was funny. Number 22, Maryland put together a road comeback to beat Minnesota.
That's bad, too.
Both teams are 7-1 to lead the league together. Could you get me the sound of a terrapin, please? There it is. That's good.
There
could
are the ducks.
Could you please find a terrapin sound?
I don't. Is a terrapin a turtle?
Yeah, it's a tortoise.
Okay, here it is. Did you say both teams are 7-1 to lead the league?
I did say that.
Is that the worst thing we've ever done on this show, the Ducks and the Terrapin sound effect?
Look up Terrapin sound right now.
Okay.
If nothing else, I need you to look up something different. We're going to just do this right now. We're going to do this live.
Terrapin sound. A young Terrapin has wheezing sounds. Oh, my
yes.
God. It's 5 minutes.
Yes, come on.
01 for this Terrapin. How old is it? 21 grams.
Come on.
2 years old.
Come on, Terrapin. Come on, Terrapin.
It's not going to load.
Oh,
it doesn't even
no.
want to load.
Okay, then Google turtle. Effects? No, Google turtle strawberry.
Why?
It's my favorite.
Oh, I've seen this.
This
before.
Is my favorite sound.
Where the turtle?
Yeah,
is
just hit this.
Right
one.
Here?
Just hit this one.
Okay.
Oh no,
that's wrong.
No, Google turtle Taylor Swift. Although we're watching a turtle try to eat a strawberry right now, and it's very cute.
It's failing epically. Right here.
This should be very short, right? Yep. First one. First one.
Oh, okay, here we go.
I promise this is worth it. Have you not seen this before?
No, I haven't.
That's so good. Here we go. Now I'm lying on the cold, hard ground. That's a turtle.
Oh, that's good.
It's a little like a little box turtle or something on a guy's shoe making that sound.
There's your new terrapin noise.
That's for the yeah. Could you put that on the board for whenever we talk about Maryland?
Maryland will forever be the Taylor Swift team.
If KU plays the Terrapins in the tournament, I want that.
They did last year.
I know.
We just missed our opportunity.
I just wasn't ready for it.
Top 25 teams to lose it / show. I'll say who. You say who they lost to.
Well, I can't yet because my notes are frozen.
All right.
Hey, I have an idea. Why don't you say the team and I'll say who they lost to?
Oh, that's a good one. Number 4 Kentucky.
Kansas.
Number 6 Florida State.
Orange.
Number 9, North Carolina.
Miami.
Number 10, Oregon.
Colorado.
Number 11, Butler.
Georgetown.
Number 12, Virginia.
Villanova.
Number 14, Notre Dame.
Georgia Tech.
Number 20, Purdue.
At Nebraska.
That's the team that's going to not KU out of the Sweet 16.
Nebraska?
Oh, Purdue. No. Well, either one works.
Man, because Nebraska in the Sweet 16, that's like my Texas pick.
You went 7-3 and pick 'em, Daniel, and
hell
I went
yeah.
5-5.
Woo!
You're back in first place.
Yeah, I am.
I think, I don't know.
You don't want to spend much time on the pick'em whenever I'm
no!
winning it.
No, not that one. That's the air horn is no longer the first drop.
You played that yourself.
Jayhawks, ready.
Jayhawks in the NBA.
Woohoo, Jeff.
Jayhawks in the NBA. Jayhawks in the NBA.
The NBA.
I'm gonna get at Clem Della Clem to laugh at one of my Jeff Withey jokes.
No, but what did he say was funny?
He said that he laughs at you and Daniel's romantic
advice. Yeah, those were good.
Nothing from Jeff Withey this week. Thus far in 2017, he has made 4 baskets in 4 minutes. He is the most efficient player in professional basketball.
I think it'd be funny if you started moving Jeff Withey to like the middle of it somewhere where you're just like, Marcus Morris, Darrell Arthur, Jeff Withey did nothing. The best performance of the week goes to Joel Embiid. That kind of thing. I think it'd be funny if it was in the middle. Joel Embiid returned after a 3-game absence to go for 32 points and 7 rebounds in 28 minutes against the Rockets. James Harden then called him the most talented big man in basketball.
Marcus Morris went for 14 against the Heat, while Markieff had 15 and 19 in his 2 games this week, which were both Washington wins. He doesn't play for Phoenix anymore. Did you know that? The Wizards are 11-2 in their last 13 games. And now, you ready for this?
Hey! Listen, it's very Jamaican. I never realized how Jamaican this was.
Every day when you're walking down the street, and everybody that you meet has an original point of view. And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day.
When did they say his name?
We gotta wait a while.
Skip ahead.
Should I go ahead and skip?
Skip towards the end.
I'm thinking it's... I don't even know if they say his name in the song, do they?
Man. If so, I think it's the very end if they do it all.
They say DW's name. Nope. What a waste.
Darrell Arthur! Darrell, well, you can just play it real quiet under the stats in the future, I guess. That would be the way to do this.
Okay, go ahead. Hold on.
From the top. Darrell Arthur had 3 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 fouls against Phoenix on Saturday.
And I have the Arthur drop now. Do you think that Darrell
Arthur...
Did
they beat Phoenix? I'm guessing they did.
Yeah, they did. Do you think Darrell Arthur watched Arthur as a kid?
Nope.
Bite That Leb Kelly Oubre didn't do much this week. He scored just 4 and 2 points in the Wizards' 2 wins. But he played 54 minutes in total. His role continues to increase in his second season.
I'm going to read this next one in the exact way that Ryan wrote it, but with, I think, the tone that he wanted. The surging Timberwolves got a nice performance by Andrew Wiggins on Saturday night as he went for 23 points in 38 minutes. Wiggins has scored at least 20 in 5 straight games.
Wiggins is always the first one I do because I have him in alphabetical order by player name. And so I write
the
Andrew.
The surging Timberwolves.
And I get really, like, it's like, okay, I'm going to put some energy into it.
Sounds like writing an ESPN promo.
I don't want to write
Andrew Wiggins, surging Timberwolves versus Jeff Withey's Pelicans. ESPN 2, 9 p.m. on Friday.
He plays for the Pelicans. He plays for the Jazz.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Close
enough. Who was the KU player who plays for the Pelicans?
I checked Diallo.
No, there's somebody. Was it Darrell Arthur?
I don't know.
Somebody else plays for the Pelicans, and you made them not Anthony Davis's team last week.
Yeah, it was Diallo. It was Diallo.
Okay.
The Lakers were off.
I knew that Diallo played for the.
So
Pelicans.
Thomas Robinson and Tarik Black have no stats to report on. Also, how about this list of players that didn't log any minutes? Paul Pierce, Brandon Rush, Ben McLemore, Nick Collison, and Shaq Diallo. That's half our list. And Cole Aldrich didn't score. Ask RCB. Can we shoot this segment into the sun?
I would love that so much.
It just gets a little old.
Now hit an air horn. Now up next, we got a big segment here. Go ahead and play the drop of the segment.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, where the f*** is that guy?
And this week, we're going to tell you we're probably going to do it next week. Air horn. Ask RCB. You can send your questions to @RockChalkBlog. With the hashtag AskRCB, and we will answer literally any question.
We need an AskRCB drop of some sort.
Like, yeah, I'm a little surprised we haven't gotten that yet.
Let's see here. Well, we don't really have anything to do it off of here. @SChasenCJ, what is the coolest moment of your life? Like whenever Landon Lucas pointed at the scoreboard, which was great.
I think for me, it was whenever Scott agreed to be the first guest on my time hosting on Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City.
For me, it's whenever Daniel said this.
I think Josh liked me a little bit more after the penis.
Was that the best moment for you as well? Was that the coolest moment of your life?
A little awkward, to be honest.
Oh, I'm horny.
Up next.
Yeah, that's why.
Daniel's
just very aggressive.
Thank you, @AmatoSixerAl. Who told me how to pronounce his Twitter name because I'm just a big freaking awful co-host who can't read anything correctly.
That's true.
Asks, would you rather have had KU beat West Virginia than Kentucky? For the standing's sake...
No, just answer the question right first.
Yes.
You would have rather have had the West Virginia victory?
Yes. If I could have chosen one at the beginning of the week, it would have been West Virginia. But, I mean, they're that close.
I mean, you're right. Like, standings-wise... But man, that Kentucky game was so much fun, and it gives you a better grip of where KU actually stands nationally.
I would have rather KU beat.
That's why I like this game. That's why I liked this game. That's why I love the Big 12 SEC Excellent. Challenge. That's why I wish the Duke game was happening in the middle of the season somewhere. Break up this conference play. It is so incestuous that you just know where KU sits in the Big 12. I want to see them play more top-tier teams. Bring Indiana, bring Duke, bring Kentucky. Sprinkle in those blue blood teams or even just other top 25 teams throughout the schedule a little more. Give me a break from seeing them play Oklahoma State.
At R.E. Norrell underscore the third, is Josh Jackson's recent three-point shooting success, quote, fool's gold, or should we expect more of this from him? He's not as good as he has been in the last 2 weeks. He's not as bad as he was the first 2 months. I expect him to make roughly 3 out of every 10 he shoots the rest of the year.
And he's still, like, the fourth best three-point shooter on the team.
5. All the other guards first.
And Vic, I guess?
And Vic, yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
So, Jackson, though, if he can make threes, it does wonders for his NBA style.
I feel great about him whenever he has the ball open. If he gets left open outside the three-point line, fine, shoot it. Other than that, there are better three-point shooters, and he does other things better than that. Not total fool's gold, though.
Another good question from at R.E. Norrell underscore the third, who knows more about basketball than any of the three of us. KU is ranked 30th.
Mouse in your pocket? What do you mean, the three of us?
Well, like Daniel.
Who?
Oh, he's not here. You know that?
What's his question?
He wants to know... Are the worries that the defense are the worries about the defense justified? Because KU is now 30th in defense on KenPom. They went from 40 to 30 after winning against Kentucky. I think that at least you and I thought that eventually the defense would catch up.
Yep.
Maybe not to the offense, but it would be serviceable like it did last year. And this may have been kind of that going from one transition into the other. I think that the defense is fine.
Saturday night, the defense was keeping them in the game.
It was fantastic.
Especially that first half, the defense was phenomenal when the offense was really struggling. So I'm not worried about it because we've seen it played out practically. The defense has been plenty good.
The only thing that KU didn't defend like an A grade was Derek Willis making 5 threes, and that's just science. You can't stop it.
The three-point defense is not a concern of mine. That's why they're losing the tournament, but it's not a concern of mine.
At Bulltown 03, do you think that was the end of KU's annual slump, or is there more to come?
What does that mean?
Oh, they always have a little stretch like this in late January. The schedule is set up very favorable for them. I don't think they're going to lose back-to-back games the rest of the year. The schedule's just set up really well. The only time they play back-to-back road games is K-State and Texas Tech, and you don't see them going 0-2 that week.
No, I'm very skeptical of momentum and trends and everything. I think most of the time it's really about the individual matchups. I'm guessing KU's had some bad luck. This was a really good win over a really good team.
Oh, my favorite. Somebody wants a Trey Young update. Here comes Daniel.
And in a little bit of a recruiting tidbit that I know is going to tickle Josh's fancy, Trey Young said last night in an interview that he is down to 3. Most people believe it's Kansas and Oklahoma. He was at the Oklahoma-Florida slaughtering on Saturday.
That I got
and,
wrong.
I know it's unconfirmed, but the plan is for him to visit the Iowa State game on Saturday, which would be a great game for him to go to. Devin Dodson, who's a top point guard in the 2018 class, so next year's recruiting class, is also going to be in attendance for that game, and a lot of people think KU, and I do as well, sit firmly in the driver's seat for Devin Dodson. So a big recruiting day on Saturday, assuming Trey Young visits, but I think Trey Young's going to be winding down his decision the next couple of weeks, and I think right now KU sits very well.
Saw something on CBS Sports that said that Young wants to commit in the middle of February.
Great. We'll know then.
He's not picking Oklahoma over Kansas.
He said they narrowed it down to 3. He said KU, Oklahoma. Did he say a third team there?
Kentucky's thought to be the third team. I cut out a couple things because the drop went on a little long, but it's thought to be Kansas and Oklahoma.
It's not a drop. It's a clip.
Yeah.
It's a droning, mother-bleeping clip.
At N. Weipert, who will be the
Love
first...
Love you, Daniel. My tickles are fancied or whatever.
At N. Weipert, who will be the first ITP member to have their podcast jersey hung in the rafters?
This is a great question.
It's me. I nominate myself.
Well, so we have a couple of ways. I think we can make an argument for anybody.
Except for... Well, okay, let's start
Let's break this down.
You know, there's the first season. You have this.
There was no meat. I wanted to kill myself. Especially because there was no meat.
The first season, you know, we could hang the jersey of the podcaster who said this.
What did Tyler like sound like in the last year of watching KU?
I have watched several games. Thank you very much.
That's my favorite clip. That's Tyler. And without Tyler, this show probably never gets started. Without me, this show definitely never gets started. I made the phone call to you to say, hey, I've got studio time at MNU.
Yeah.
Clear out your schedule. We're going to do a Chiefs podcast. Then you're like, hey, let's also do a KU podcast. Like, sweet. Let's do it. Then you and Tyler started it up. I was there when I could be. And now I've stuck around since then.
This happened also with Tyler. So I'm going to blare the horn. That's my favorite drop ever. The harmony there. So I'm going to blare the horn. And then there's this. Why not? So I'm going to blare the horn.
Play the whole remix.
Oh, no.
Yeah, here we go again. So I'm going to blare the horn. So I'm going to blare the horn.
Here we go. I think that's the first time that's been played on the show.
Probably so.
So good.
So Tyler,
did that.
Tyler, did I do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So Tyler has an argument there. I have the argument of being like I'm getting in like
you're
partially
the
as
Hunt.
A player,
yeah.
Partially as like founder of the league kind of thing. You probably have like the highest scoring player in ITP history.
Hey, sweet.
I'm James Naismith, and like.
I'll be Fog Allen, who's the winningest coach ever.
That's good. That's a good call.
Who's Daniel?
James Naismith. You're Fog
Daniel
Allen.
Larry Brown. He gets in trouble everywhere he
Tyler,
goes.
Tyler is Bill Self, because he was consistent. And
Wait, what?
And Daniel Cunningham is Carlton Bragg.
I'll suck a penis.
He's Carlton Bragg?
Yeah. We're coaches. He's Carlton. He's definitely not a coach. No, Tyler and Daniel were both not coaches. I'm Naismith. You can be Fog Allen. The arena's named after you. But my rules are being sold for millions now.
I'm just frustrated. I have a full article basically done with a full interview from Mitchell Bollock. And he f***ing commits to Creighton. Kid from Eudora, 15 minutes away from Allen Fieldhouse, top 40 kid, goes to f***ing Creighton. Creighton. Creighton! Oh, and to top it all off, you have Captain Forehead, Captain Omaha,
uh-oh.
And no sucking fucking bitch.
Oh my god!
Get to celebrate tonight because the Denver Broncos won the Super Bowl!
Daniel is Mario Chalmers. He had some good moments, some great moments, but overall, if you zoom out, you're like, well. He's probably thought of a little too highly because of his good moments.
Because you have things he said like this.
At Nicholas05, Daniel, make me feel better and tell me Josh Jackson will commit to KU. Well, you know what? I'm going to make you feel just as good as KU did on Tuesday because it ain't happening.
That was a rough week for Daniel.
Are we done with this yet?
No, not
please.
I love
done
the question.
The...
But no, we never answered the question. Who's the one that gets their jersey retired?
I mean, I think it's got to be me first because I was first.
I think we should all just nominate Tyler. We can hoist Tyler's jersey up in the rafters. Okay. Okay. At Voltown03, is Kansas/Bill Self turning into a zone defense team?
No.
I like it when they mix up the defense and force the other team to react. No, but
they're a hybrid team now.
Yeah, they're kind of
which
like
is exciting, which is great.
They're kind of like what a lot of sabermetric people want baseball teams to be with platoons, and you play certain lineups against certain teams. People want Ned Yost to bat left-handed DHs against right-handed pitchers, and vice versa. When a lot of managers and coaches, for that matter, don't like doing that, I feel like that's a decent analogy. And we don't really know if that works in the long run of things, but it can definitely win you individual games like this. Is that fair?
Yes. And it does help extend the life of your player's legs.
At Raider-12, if at the beginning of the year I told you KU would beat Duke and Kentucky, how hard would you have slapped me? Yeah, that would have been pretty significant.
Not that hard. I'm not that violent of a person, and that's perfectly fine. Man, if I was going to slap people for dumb predictions, Daniel wouldn't have a face.
And then that also at Raider-12. If Bragg returns this year, do you think Self gives him more minutes than Colby or Lightfoot, or fewer to prove a point? As far as just play on the court... If Dwight Colby does the exact same thing he did against Kentucky against Baylor, there is no reason for Carlton Bragg to get more minutes than Dwight Colby. None.
I agree.
So, we think he will be. I think he will get more minutes than Dwight Colby. I don't think he should at this point.
I think they'll both get... I think he'll start to get more minutes, and then we'll see, based off of how each of them play, who actually ends up getting more.
At Coach_Chef, to close us out here, is it just me, or does Colby look like he can be a legitimate minute grabber in Bragg's absence?
Yes.
Yes, we've been saying that for a little bit.
Yes.
It's just a matter of if he's healthy enough to be able to get on the court for 10 minutes a game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Still stuck on that rafters question. Another big matchup between top five teams, second in a row for Kansas, opens the month of February. Number 2, Baylor at number 3, Kansas, Wednesday, February 1st at 8 o'clock p.m., probably the biggest game KU will play at Allen Fieldhouse this season. You want to talk about Baylor Or should we just talk about, you know, their coach, which hasn't done it yet but is known as
Scott Drew is a boo.
That's so unfair at this point, man. What do you want from Baylor that they haven't given you already?
A Big 12 title.
This season. What have they not given you this season?
You look back at their wins, and all of a sudden, that big flex your muscles schedule that they had isn't quite there. Oregon was without Dylan Brooks. Xavier, they're out of the top 25. Michigan State is awful. West Virginia. Wichita State, they're not going to make the tournament. The Louisville comeback was impressive. I'll give them that one. Then they got blown out by West Virginia. All of a sudden, that schedule isn't as strong as we thought, and they're in need of, I guess they have Louisville, but they're in need of a big, bold capital win. This would definitely count.
Well, yeah, and this isn't going to happen. But they have Louisville, and then they have the Big 12. As we've talked about over and over and over, the middle of the Big 12 is a mud pit because it's hard to be consistently good in the Big 12, and Baylor has done that so far. I can't knock them for anything for not winning any game in front of them other than that West Virginia game.
Baylor's 20-1, which is the best start in school history. Their lone loss was a road beatdown in Morgantown at West Virginia. Then Baylor, we talked about their non-conference wins. They've beaten the same seven teams in league play that KU has beat.
KU has the better overall record right now.
No, they
not,
don't.
Not, they have the better overall resume right
Correct.
Now. But I think you've got to give Baylor their due here.
I agree. But they got trashed in Morgantown. If they come in and get blown out again at Allen Fieldhouse, the questions are going to really come up about their legitimacy.
I don't think so.
It is every year. They get blown out at the four toughest games in the Big 12.
Losing big in Allen Fieldhouse isn't going to change my perception of many teams. Winning in Allen Fieldhouse, or even staying close in Allen Fieldhouse can, but someone going to Lawrence and losing big, I'm going to go, yeah, that's what happens. That's what you expect at this point. KU is better.
I think that's invalid about if a team stays close, change your opinion, because K-State stayed close. Fluky things can happen.
I think it can elevate it a little bit. It's not going to totally turn me around.
That may be more
Baylor fair. Winning this game would not totally turn me around on them. They can improve what I think of them in this game, but I'm not sure they can go in and make me think much less of them unless they really got stomped on.
Well, the Baylor Bears' biggest strength is on the defensive end, which is something you absolutely have to have if you're going to win an Allen. The Bears' scoring defense is top 10 nationally, allowing 61 points per game. They're very deep. They have 10 players that average at least 10 minutes a game. They are so, so far away, different than KU. They score inside. KU's got guards. KU plays seven guys. Baylor plays a lot of guys. Baylor plays good defense. KU plays good offense. It's a collision of two different styles that have both been very successful together. They're 39-3 this year. You want to go?
I don't have anything else for you.
Jonathan Motley is the best big man in the Big 12. He's averaging 16 points and 9.6 rebounds per game while shooting 52% from the floor and a solid 71% from the line. Then there's Joe Luol Asul Jr., who is the team's center, a 7-foot junior that blocks nearly 3 shots per game. Landon Lucas going to be tested.
Manuela Comdas emerged as one of the best point guards in the conference. He averaged 12 points and 4.5 assists per game while shooting 41% from three. Al Freeman, the starting two guard. Jake Lindsley is the white kid who Ryan is petrified of. And
he's going to make 7 threes.
Costume in his dreams when he's chained to a chair. And Kansas City native Ishmael Wainwright is the senior leader that does a little bit of everything.
Really like Wainwright. Feel bad for him. He was the guy who got destroyed. He actually died last March when Wayne Selden had that dunk on him, and he's still playing. He has Kansas City Chiefs, Kansas City Royals tattoos on his back. He's cool. He, as you said, does everything, can play all the positions. But Baylor, they have never won at Fog Allen. They are 0-12 lifetime in Lawrence. Scott Drew has more losses in Allen Fieldhouse than Bill Self does.
God, that's awesome.
And additionally, Kansas is 8-0 against Baylor in the inside the paint era. That may change this year, but I don't think this is the game where it's going to happen.
It's not going to happen here. I'll take KU 82, Baylor 74. I think it's pretty much that margin for most of the game. I don't think we should ever be panicking. I think KU ultimately ends up winning it by a healthy enough margin.
What'd you say they won by?
8, I think.
Okay.
I think I just gave you 8 points. I think it's pretty much that type of game. I think KU handles them just fine, but I think Baylor is a very good team who's gonna show that they should be in this conversation, as they are the second best team in the Big 12.
Daniel says KU 83-78, so a 5-point win. Says the game's very tight the whole way. Then KU has a flurry to finish behind Frank Mason's 22.
Does a flurry to finish get you up by 5? That's kind of what I was thinking. It's a 5 to 8 point game for most of it, and KU holds on by 8 at the end. Whatever.
You want my bold call? You want a bold call from me?
No, but you're going to tell me that KU is going to win this game by 15.
Here comes the beatdown for Baylor that they've been flirting with fire for a while, narrowly beating Oklahoma State, Iowa State at home. They needed last-second shots to do it.
You hope KU loses this game.
Kansas is going to curb stomp Baylor in their statement win. They've been ready for this game all year, knowing the significance of this one. Kansas knocks out Baylor early, and the Bears never recover. 84-68. And what would that be? 16?
16. I said 15. I can smell your hot takes on the other side.
84-64. 20-point comfortable road win.
Oh, look at you.
Oh,
it's so hot. The takes are so
spicy. I don't
buy
Baylor. I still don't. They're 20-1, but I don't think that this is a top five team. I just don't. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think they're definitely the second best team in the Big 12 and a top seven team. The top end of college basketball is always going to be like this.
Manula Comp will prevent Frank Mason from going for 40. Josh Jackson's the guy that Baylor just flat out does not have a guy that can guard. Jackson's the one who's going to go for. He's had 22 points four times. We can't get his career high. Here it comes outright. Josh Jackson, 27 points, and he makes, shockingly, 6 of 9 from the free throw line.
That is shocking. I thought you were saying 6 of 9 from 3, but 6 of 9 from the free throw line might be more shocking.
Let's go on to other games.
We give the same players of the game every time. I just watch Landon Lucas.
If KU loses this game, Inside the Paint's going to be really fun. Because that may be honestly the first time we've ever done this show where we're looking at it thinking, Kansas is behind a really good team halfway through. They might not win the Big 12 because they already lost at home to that team.
They're not going to lose at home.
If they lose this game, what's their percent chance to win a share of the conference?
40.
If they win it, what's their chance?
98.
So what you're saying is this is kind of an important game.
Yes.
But they're going to win.
Yes. They all know that it's an important game, and they're going to take care of business.
Big 12 games.
But they're playing a good enough team where it's going to look challenging.
Now, I don't know what you're doing tonight, but I need you to cancel everything that you're doing because Bedlam's going on tonight. Oklahoma State at Oklahoma on Monday at 8.
Well, my plans were to watch that game, but I've canceled those plans now, so I'm going to do something else.
Okay?
Yeah, not that.
Daniel wants Oklahoma to bounce back. Who do you want in this game?
Is this good radio?
No. Think about it.
Free apples! Free apples! Free apples! I think Oklahoma State has the higher ceiling. It's on the road. I know it's a rivalry game and everything. I'll take Oklahoma State. Why not?
I was hoping that you take Oklahoma so I could take the Pokes and be different.
We can do that. We can just go opposite Daniel. That's a safe place to be.
I think Oklahoma wins this game, though. They've gotten trashed so many games in a row.
Just pick who you think's going to win.
I think Oklahoma's going to win. That place will be rowdy.
Number 7, West Virginia at Iowa State.
Give me the Cyclones at home.
Oh, okay. I'll take West Virginia on the road.
Daniel wants Iowa State at home, too. Tough test. West Virginia won there last year, but Iowa State needs a signature W. I think this could be it.
They need it, and they're not going to get it. TCU at Kansas State.
Give me the Emaws before this absolutely brutal stretch where we talked about this is the only game they're winning in the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I'll take them, too, but whatever. It's gross. It's gross.
Give me 10 seconds of analysis on this next one because I have to blow my nose.
What did Daniel take on TCU K-State?
K-State.
Just wanted to check.
Anyone's Texas in the next game, I think.
Texas Tech at Texas. Go ahead and blow that nose, Ryan. This is a big game because both of these teams, if you didn't notice from the name, are in Texas. Texas Tech actually seems like a decent Big 12 team. Texas is very bad.
That's why I'm the jersey in the rafters guy right there because of what happens whenever I'm not.
I carry that just fine.
Would you and Daniel do a solid KU podcast?
I did a solid KU show on myself yesterday.
You remove one of us from we got three combinations, the three of us. Remove one of us. Which two would do the best KU show? Which two would do the worst?
You and me would do the best one, and me and Daniel would do the worst one.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. So me and Daniel's is mediocre.
Yes.
Texas beats Texas Tech, yeah? At home?
Ugh!
Be hilarious to see you jump off the Texas bandwagon now.
What? I haven't been off the Texas bandwagon for like a month.
Pick them.
I was wrong.
Pick the Red Raiders.
They're
the
bad.
Pick the Red Raiders.
Give me another road team.
Wow. Good Lord. Other games. Number 21, Duke at number 20, Notre Dame. Daniel wants Notre Dame. Who do you want?
I don't need to hear what you say because I'm just trying to scroll on the notes because my phone or my tablet just crashed. What's the game?
Number 21, Duke at number 20, Notre Dame. I want the blue. Do I?
I kind of do. Have I taken all road teams so far? No, I took K-State at home.
I'm going to go with Notre Dame because they've lost two in a row, and I always talk about their advantage in Great Bend, but I think Duke may kind of have found it a little bit.
I'm going to take Duke here, because I'm going to keep going through a team. Where's Daniel?
Daniel wants Notre Dame. I'll take the Fighting Irish, but yeah, this definitely has me on the fence.
Number 4, Villanova at Providence. I'll take another road team.
Yeah, I will too. We always pick Villanova, and that will continue in this game.
Number 17, Maryland at Ohio State. We're talking about Maryland. Where's my freaking turtle sound?
I'm balling on Maryland. I think that they're really good, and I think they're the best team in the Big Ten. Give me Mello Trimble's team to win that game. Daniel wants Ohio State.
This is my turtle sound. Number 15, Florida State at Miami.
Florida State's lost two in a row. It ain't hitting three, even though Miami just beat North Carolina, so who the heck knows? We all want Florida State?
Yes.
Ooh, I didn't think we'd all sweep that one.
And number one, Gonzaga at BYU.
Second toughest game for Gonzaga the rest of the year, which means they're going to win by 15 and not 20 this time.
I'm taking Gonzaga, and I think I took one home team this week, two, counting Kansas. I don't feel great about that.
You took K-State as your other only home team.
Yeah. KU and K-State are the two home teams I picked this
week. Wow, you picked five road teams and pick them. I'm sure that'll work.
Yeah, that's going to go great. But right now, I am currently in first place in Pick'em. I have 70%. Daniel has 69. You also have 69, but you're a game behind.
105, 104, 103 are the standings there. It's amazing how close that is. It's been a fun year.
I don't think it's that.
It's been a fun year. You know what? Being behind Daniel.
This is a damn embarrassment.
I gotta shape up now. This has been the Inside the Bank podcast on rockchuckblog.com. I am Ryan Landreth.
I'm Josh Briscoe. You know, if you'd like to hear more of this wonderful stuff, I just found out that Sunday from 9 to 11, never forget, I'll be hosting again on Sports
Can
Radio
I call 18. In and talk about, I don't know, what's the one thing you do not want me talking about on the radio with you? What can I talk about?
I can hang up on you at any point, and I have a dump button. I'm ready. Bring your worst.
I'll be ready. Daniel,
I talked about Kim Anderson for 5 minutes yesterday, so I'm like ready to go.
Unless Daniel is still taking his girlfriend to a dentist appointment in 4 days, he will be back and we'll all recap the big Baylor game and preview Iowa State coming into Lawrence to kick off the second half of Big 12 play. We're also going to hand out our midseason Big 12 awards.
We are hitting the music now live. We just have to write this out. Is this how long the last show was? We're going to have like identically long shows.
The last time was all three of us somehow. Yep.
So you and me, I'm telling you and me do a pretty good KU basketball show.
Doesn't mean we still don't miss Daniel though, right?
Well, I'm captain of the boob committee.
Subscribe on iTunes. Check rockchuckblog.com. I had an article today that talks about midseason Final Four picks. It'll be a really fun week. Big Kansas-Baylor game, which I'm doing the recap on. I'm not going to that one. Makes me disappointed.
I think that is exactly what that means.
Oh, don't make this the exact length of the last show.
Bye, Mom!
Gonna play a Daniel drop to extend it. Just you watch.
Nope.
Breaking news. This show's slightly longer than the last.
I hate you.
Say bye, Mom.